Unitarian Universalists are not Christians, though I sometimes like to say we are the most Protestant branch of Christianity, which is in some ways true, but it's also something I like to say when I'm being deliberately provocative. No, we're no longer a holy Christian tradition, but we come out of Protestant Christianity, splitting away back in 1819 when we rejected Trinitarianism, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It can be argued that in our Unitarianism, our embrace of one, unity over three, Trinity, that the one we chose to embrace was the Holy Spirit. You will find the word Spirit in our hymnal dozens more times than the words Father, Son, God, or Jesus. As UU World Magazine has noted, the hymn Spirit of Life is better known and loved in Unitarian Universalism than all other songs, prayers, and pieces of liturgy. Spirit of Life is often the phrase I use to begin prayer. Today's service comes about because it was suggested to me by a Christian colleague that Unitarian Universalists should particularly embrace the messages of Pentecost, that this should be one of our holidays. These messages that God can be experienced directly without mediation by priest or church, that diversity, each of us speaking our own language, is a blessing, and that we are called to take action in the world. Pentecost is meant to be celebrated enthusiastically. It's called the birthday of the Christian church, with bold music and the worship space decorated in red. It is a celebration of the power of community and a celebration of renewal. It would be hard for us to celebrate so enthusiastically a holiday we are not especially familiar with. And it turns out that our Christian siblings struggle with it as well. As we heard in our reading this morning from Christian theologian Walter Brueggemann, we hear the story of the wind at Pentecost. We are dazzled, but then, reverting to type, we wonder how to harness the wind, how to manage the wind by our technology, how to turn the wind to our usefulness, how to make ourselves managers of the wind. That sounds like Unitarian Universalist, doesn't it? Some of us, anyway. We don't gather here on Sunday morning to speak in tongues. We don't dance when we sing, usually. We don't close our eyes and lift our hands up in the air when we pray. We don't call out during the sermon. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. We can when prompted.
Or when not.
If we're reserved in worship, we come by it honestly, inherited from the Puritans who are our religious ancestors. In 1742, Reverend Charles Chauncey preached a sermon, I love this so much, titled Enthusiasm Described and Cautioned Against. Reverend Chauncey did not approve of the emotionalism of the Great Awakening. And over 200 years later, enthusiasm is still suspect. At least in religious life. We can be enthusiastic for our sports teams, our TV shows, our food, our cars, almost anything, but not religion. We associate religious enthusiasm with fundamentalism, with religious conservatism, particularly with discrimination against gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer persons. We associate religious enthusiasm with lack of education and with intolerance. I was so excited and happy when I joined a Unitarian Universalist church, the first church I ever joined. And I remember intentionally not talking about it with friends because I knew I had that starry-eyed happiness that is indeed religious enthusiasm and is therefore uncomfortable. I didn't want to seem like the other religious people. And if I mentioned my church at all, I was quick to add, it is not a Christian church. I didn't want people to mistake me for a bigot. I didn't want people to mistake me for a bigot, and so I chose not to mention my religion at all. And it's tempting to think, oh, well, who cares? Religion is a private matter anyway, isn't it? The General Conference of the United Methodist Church is underway. This is the top policymaking body for the denomination worldwide, and it meets every 4 years to conduct business. The day before the conference began, 111 Methodist clergy came out as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, LGBTQ, in a letter to the church. In the Methodist Church, clergy are not allowed to be who they are. LGBTQ and same-sex marriage is also not allowed. These clergy risk being fired and defrocked. These clergy risk losing their livelihoods and their retirement benefits. I don't think these clergy would say that religion is a private matter. Methodist LGBTQ congregants are fighting hard at the conference to effect change, to change the religion that is beloved to them in all other ways. And my understanding from Methodist colleagues is that it is unlikely anything will change, not this year anyway, and they've been having these debates for 44 years, every conference. 47 years ago, Unitarian Universalist minister James Stoll came out as gay. He was the first ordained minister of a major religious group in the United States or Canada to come out. Unitarian Universalists ordained the first openly transgender minister in 1988. Unitarian Universalist clergy have been officiating services of union for same-sex couples since 1984, and we've officially supported same-sex marriage since 1996. I am enthusiastic about this religion. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is so obvious to me that it's okay to be gay, and that people should marry who they want to, and that we should all get to choose what bathrooms we use. All these things are so normal and obvious that I forget how radical it is that my religion supports these views. My religion affirms that these aren't political issues, these are moral issues, issues of right and wrong. God calls us to love one another. God sweeps in on a gust of wind and rains fire into our hearts, calling us to love one another, to fight discrimination, to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. God touches our tongues that we may speak up and out against injustice, against hatred, against fear. We should have a rainbow flag on our street corner, shouldn't we? Have we forgotten that love is radical? That we have something to offer that the Methodists, the Baptists, the Mormons, the Catholics, and even our friends, the Muslims, do not offer. But something holds us back, keeps us silent and sitting on our hands. Are we afraid to be visible, to be public? What if someone doesn't like our rainbow flag? What if it attracts attention? What if we get hate mail? Religion isn't really a private matter after all. Marlon Lavenhar asks, what if I think God is real and prayer is powerful and ritual is effective? I ask, what if you don't think God is real, but you do think prayer is powerful, and you do think ritual is effective? I'm tired of the thread of Unitarian Universalism that keeps us preoccupied with seeming smart or proper or serious. Let's not be afraid to tell each other if we speak in tongues, or we pray, or we're afraid of God, or afraid of the dark, or we're scared to be alone. We came to this religion to get away from a judging God, and instead we worry about being judged by each other. That sucks. We hear the story of the wind at Pentecost, holy wind that dismantles what was, holy wind that evokes what is to be, holy wind that overrides barriers and causes communication. Holy wind that signals your rule, God, even among us. What holy wind is blowing in your life right now? What is moving? What is calling you? What dazzles you, but also frightens you? We are dazzled, but then, reverting to type, we wonder how to harness the wind. How to manage the wind by our technology, how to turn the wind to our usefulness, how to make ourselves managers of the wind. We talk ourselves out of our enthusiasms sometimes, don't we? What if we try something and fail? What if we make a mistake? It's better, we think, to appear in control. Partly we do not believe such an odd tale because we are not religious freaks. Partly we resist such a story because it surges beyond our categories. Partly we had imagined you, God, to be a more ordered and reliable than that. We imagined God to be ordered, as if the messiness of life has ever pointed toward an ordered life force. So we listen, depart, and return to our ordered existence. We depart with only a little curiosity, but not yielding. We return to how it was before, unconvinced, but wistful, slightly praying for wind. We return to our ordered existence, slightly praying for wind. But no one here has an ordered existence, I promise you. Only the illusion of order. You too are susceptible to illness and loss and awkwardness and mistakes. We slightly pray for wind, for change, for transformation, but we don't have to pray for that, because the potential for change and transformation is all around us if we would simply let ourselves be dazzled instead of resisting. This morning, I invite you to cherish the story of Pentecost. Keep your heart open, your mind open, yes, even your door open, that the wind may come, the wind that calls you to action, to community, to change, to courage, to risk. Know that you too are called to change the world and change it for the better. This is the promise of Pentecost. We are all called, not just Jesus, not just Buddha, but all of us. And this is the gift of Pentecost, that we are not alone. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And blessed be.